Today's first reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 20, which can be found on page 1089 of your pew Bibles. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Today's gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 21, verses 10 to 17, which can be found on page 935 of your pew Bibles. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth my praise'?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Becky. Should we have a moment of silence? So happy New Year, everybody. It's good to see you all again. When we come to faith in Jesus, Paul says to us that we are born again. We're born again into a family, which Paul calls the body of Christ. God becomes our adoptive parent, and we can call him Abba, which is Hebrew for papa or daddy. So it's quite a level of intimacy, really, that we have with God when we are born again into his family. We have that sort of father-son, mother-daughter, father-daughter relationship with God. And because each of one is born again into God's family, it turns out that you and I are also family. Siblings, in fact. Don't know how that makes you feel. But it's quite a picture, isn't it? In Christ, we are one with each other. And in our new series, which we're calling In It Together, it's all about celebrating this community, this family that we are born into. Now, we might not have had a perfect human family. I'm aware of that. We might not have had perfect parents. We might have been disappointed in our family life. But each of us has the opportunity to be born again into God's family. If we're committed to Jesus, we're automatically drawn together into one body, one family, the church. And Jesus holds us together. Now, for excuse me, I don't know if anybody can get me a glass of water. Sorry about this. So for extroverts like me, that's really good news. It couldn't be better, really. For introverts like Debbie, my wife, I imagine the feeling is slightly more mixed. But please bear with me, because even in a good family, or in every good family, there are quiet rooms, places to be still, places for reflection. Peter reminds us that to this family we were called because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. And Paul encourages us to imitate Christ in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. There is real joy, isn't there, in being part of a family and being part of this Christian family here at St. Mary's. And if you want to know how to become part of the family, if that's not something that you've come across thus far in your life, and what that might look like in our lives, then please do sign up for the Faith Course. There are orange leaflets, probably in the pews, but also on the middle table, for a program called Faith, which is for Thursdays, starting on the 22nd of January in Cafe Nero in the evening. So please do join us for that if you'd like to. For myself, I've found being part of God's family as a privilege as I've moved from place to place and from situation. Oh, Sophie, thank you. Thanks so much. Really appreciate that. Thank you. So it's been a privilege to be part of that family, and it's sort of changed my life, really, because everywhere I've lived, Bristol, Coventry, Finchley, West Ham, Windsor, Bracknell, and Ely, I've discovered a new branch of God's family tree, an instant family into which I've been included and loved. And that's meant roast dinners on the first Sunday I was there. It's meant coffee. It's meant friends. It's meant people to talk to about things that really do matter. And of course, when you just move to a new place, you are vulnerable, aren't you? You're at risk of being lonely, at risk of going bananas, really, with your own company. In fact, I'm not sure how anybody moves house without actually being part of God's family and having a local church to go to, in a way. And one thing I've discovered is that, like any family, the more you put in, the more you receive. Like any human family, there are responsibilities that come with being part of the family, because God's given us a reason for being. It's interesting, isn't it? Responsibilities in the family is all in the news at the moment, and it'll be interesting to see how the royals solve their family and responsibilities over the coming week. But it is interesting that those family ties, they can't be broken. They're there forever, and they will work them out, and hopefully they'll work them out harmoniously. I really pray that they do. But God's given us a reason for being. And that purpose is to present God to the communities in which we live, we work, and we pray. Chris Knowles, in our 9 o'clock service last week, reminded us that Eckhart said, "For every creature is full of God and is a book." We're books to be read by our communities, by our friends, by our workmates, by our families. So being part of this St. Mary's family can change your life. And in fact, it will change your life and transform you in a way that you can only imagine if you allow it. And St. Mary's family is a family that can radically transform our community as well. It's a family, actually, that can change the world. I don't know about you, but I've been excited about the potential of a church family ever since I became a Christian. I've never been very enamored with very many secular institutions and what they've had to offer. And I've really been looking for something greater than that everywhere I go. something worth investing my life into. God's family and God's purposes have always provided that for me, for which I'm really grateful. So I've wanted to use what gifts and talents that God's given me for his purposes, and the church family always is the base. St. Paul puts it this way: each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I believe God intends for every believer to join in, to play our part. We're all in it together. And if one of us is not participating, then we're all diminished. St. Paul says, life is worth nothing unless I use it as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus, demonstrating the good news of God's mighty kindness and love. What an adventure, what potential we have as the body of Christ here at St. Mary's. St. Paul offers us lists of the talents that we as God's people will be given and can bring to the church and the city in his books in the New Testament. And over the coming 8 weeks, we're going to celebrate how this happens at St. Mary's for the benefit of God's kingdom and this beautiful city. And week by week, we'll commission everybody involved, which hopefully means everybody here in this room today will be commissioned over at least one of the 8 Sundays, and probably more than one. We'll be commissioned for something. And we're going to look at worship and all that happens when the theology of what we do when we come to worship, and how we lead worship, and how the people who are handling the PA and the AV and so on, what they bring. We're looking at pastoral care. We're looking at welcome and hospitality. We'll be looking at youth work, children's work. We'll be looking at small groups and discipleship. And this week, briefly, we were looking at the officers and the administrators of the church. And as I was taking a look at it this week, I came across a few pictures, a few Dave Walker cartoons of how this works in a church. I wonder if we could have the first one up. So one of the things that the officers and the administrators help us do is make sure that we handle health and safety. And I really like this one. There's three, I think, here that really speak to us. The padded buffers on the pew ends for children careering around aisles at high speed. I love that. I love to see our children careering around the aisles. The gloves to be used by all biscuit arrangers. That's interesting. How many biscuit arrangers do we have in the community? Quite a few, I expect. And this one, which actually is taken from a photograph of a real thing that happened in St. Mary's just before Christmas, which is changing the projector bulb using an ingenious stepladder combinations. Dan Brown was actually at that projector just before the carol service, I think it was, wasn't it? And another crib service, I think, on a series of ladders that looked a little bit like that, I have to say. I'm ashamed to say, really. So there's health and safety, and then, of course, another sort of area of administration is our PCC, and I love this one here, this diagram. So this is the PCC survival kit, and I like it. There's on the top right, there's a pre-prepared list of leaving early excuses, which is really good. There's the advanced doodling supplies, which is basically a pen. There's gin heavily disguised as water, and as a decoy, there's water heavily disguised as gin, which is really good. Mint cake, chocolate sweets, and a flair to attract attention, which I think sometimes we need. So briefly, let's just take a little look at some of these officer roles in the church. We have our wardens, our wonderful wardens, Derek and Chris, and we have Graham Biss, who's the warden at Christ. Where's Graham gone? Oh, there he is, yeah. He's our warden at Christchurch. And we have people like Piers, who's our treasurer, with help from Paul Smith and others. And each one of these people are volunteers for pretty big jobs in the church. And in many ways, they're the engine room of the church. Much of their work is unseen, but with their teams, they ensure a number of things. They ensure we're safe, solvent, and sustainable, whilst at the same time, they provide us with huge encouragement for mission and ministry. It's quite a balancing act. So I think we've got the Rolls-Royce team of church officers here at the moment. And I can reassure you that things have moved on a bit since the treasurers in the temple, which we read about earlier, who were thrown out for money changing and so on. Our officers really do make sure we're open for business and fit for mission. And I've asked Piers, actually, if he'd like to come up and just I could just interview him briefly. It'd be great. So, Piers, do you want to... everybody knows who Piers is, I imagine. This is Piers Coutts.
Thank you.
What do you do, Piers?
This and that, and I'm treasurer this morning.
Indeed. Hopefully not just this morning. So what does that role entail?
It entails making sure, from my angle, that the church has the resources that it needs, ensuring that everyone, as much as I can, understands what's going on financially in the clearest possible way. I have to leave you to judge whether that actually works.
And what's the goal behind that? I mean, it's one thing to have everything straight, which is wonderful, and you do that beautifully.
Apart from the clarity, which I think is important, I want to make it simple for people to give regularly. The easier it is, the more that people feel welcomed and wanting to give. Particularly in that respect, we now have our contactless terminal just by the door. If you failed to bring any cash with you, just tap with your card. We need to make sure that the ministry we have here is funded and provided for.
Absolutely. And one of the things I find encouraging about you, Piers, is that when we come up with harebrained schemes, you don't say, oh, no, we couldn't possibly afford that. You, so long as we're all kind of feeling that it's the right thing to do, you kind of get behind us. So it feels to me like your faith plays quite a lot into this.
Yes. The big test of faith comes when you set the budget each year, because each year you set the budget in November, comes to PCC, and as always this year, you lay out all the things that we're called to do in the ministry, and then you lay out this year's income, and the two don't quite match. So you set a budget, which is a budget for increased income. And so we've got a budget for just under £9,000 extra, 4% extra this year, which we set in faith. The delight is when at the end of the year, you come to that moment when on New Year's Eve, I go online, just have a last little look at the bank account just before the party, and see how things have turned out that year, and do we celebrate or not. And whereas in 2018, we were just a little bit under on our budget, this year, hooray, party time, we were just a little bit over on our regular budget. So that was a delight. So we're about £3,000 over in 2019, which is lovely because, as you know, we spent nearly £150,000 on repairing the windows up there last year, and that drained our building reserves down a long way. And so it's nice to have a little bit to start building up those reserves again for the next need.
That's quite a little insight into your family life on New Year's Eve.
It is so sad, isn't it?
So I often see your eyes light up when you're talking about figures and money and so on. What gives you the most satisfaction in your role?
Well, the big stuff, obviously, is making sure the church can function, that people are encouraged and enthused and enabled to give as necessary, and seeing God answer in that respect. The childish little enthusiasm I get is like earlier this week when I was just trying to balance off 2019 and I was £4.67 wrong. And an accountant would just say, it's immaterial, forget it. But I need to find where that £4.67 is. And after 2 hours, I did find it. And that was such a delight.
Right. So Piers doesn't need Where's Wally books. He just goes, where's that £4.15 books? Yeah, absolutely. So what would you say to someone who is considering this sort of role in the church?
It's a great honour and it's a great privilege. This role came along for me just as I retired, and I've been business manager at King's for a few years, and so it was very much the same skills needed. So, you know, there's a role there. It's a real privilege. And if you think you're being called to this, or any other role around, really, I've just got a few things to say about that. Please listen to that call. The call seems to me usually comes from three sources. Is there a need there that needs to be filled? And if there is, that's part of a call. Have you got the skills necessary to meet that need? And just a little proviso at the end there, do other people agree that you've got the skills needed to meet that need? So if those three things line up, then that for me is a call from God. I know sometimes people hear, you know, very direct calls in prayer or revelations, but really, it was a great leader of a great missionary organization said that at a conference I was at. He said, for me, a calling is there a need, and have you got the skills to meet it? That's the beginning of a calling.
Great. And you've put together a little team, haven't you? There's a few
Yes,
of you
we have. It all goes on behind the scenes. Paul Smythe is in the background there, just taking on his role now as deputy treasurer. And he's taken over all the gift aid side of things, which he's done hugely efficiently, far better than I did. And we've got Rod Watson as well, who is very much in the background. But every week he's there, and because it needs two of us to count the cash, obviously, for sort of safety and prudence. And so we do that together, and then we sort out the banking. And nobody ever sees that. So that's the other role that goes in there as well.
That's lovely. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Chris. Piers. Thank you for sharing. That's great. And as well as our officers, this morning we're thinking a little bit about our administrators as well. And again, we have a wonderful team of administrators in the office, which is led by Kirsty and supported by Elizabeth, and complemented by a whole army of volunteers as well. And I'm so grateful for that group of people too. And I've asked Sarah Woodbridge. Sarah's still... Yeah, there she's there. That's good. Glad you didn't... glad you stayed on. It's the second time Sarah and Piers have done this morning, so thank you very much. So many of you might not know Sarah. This is Sarah Woodbridge. Sarah, what do you do? What's your role?
I help with the wedding administration. I'm usually the first point of contact for couples who are exploring getting married at St. Mary's or one of the village churches. I meet up with them, and if they want to take things further, I do the bits and pieces behind the scenes and help bring things together on the day of their marriage.
That's wonderful. And what do you like about it? What inspires you about it?
It's a joy and a privilege to meet up with the couples and be part of the team that prepares them for their marriage. A lot of the couples don't come to church normally, so it is our prayer that as the team helps prepare them for their wedding, they also might see something of Christ in us, and we do pray that they might want to find more of Christ.
That's great. And in fact, some have joined the church, actually, since I've been here, some of the wedding couples have, which is wonderful. So that's great news. So how does your faith play into what you do? How would you...
As Piers said, we're called, we're saved to serve, and I feel this is something I've been able to do.
That's great. Yeah. Lovely. And what would you say to somebody who was considering this sort of role in the church, this type of role?
I'm not an upfront person. I'd rather not be standing up here. if that's you, there are a lot of other things you can do to help in church. You don't have to be standing up the front here. So do talk to Chris about other things that need doing.
Great.
And also, I'd like to add to what Piers said, it's such a privilege to be part of the team here at St. Mary's. It's a great team, it's a great family, and I've had lots of help and encouragement in what I do.
That's lovely. It's really good. Thank you very much, Sarah. Thanks for your courage in standing up front. It's really, really appreciated. And there are so many of us who help with administration. There's the church council, who are our non-execs, the PCC, as it's called. And they're elected by us, and Barbara is our chair, and Katie is our secretary. And then there's the building transformation team, who are especially hard at work at the moment, as you know. And there's anybody who's ever taken a message, anybody who's pointed the way to somebody when they've come in church and needed the loo. There's anybody who's ever offered a lift to someone. There's photographers, anybody who's ever taken a message, given directions, posted on Facebook. You can use your imagination. Pretty much everybody in here really is an administrator in one way or another in this church, even if it's only for a very small part. And at the end of the service, we're going to commission everybody who does any sort of administration in the church. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if everybody felt they wanted to stand up for that, which would be great. So as we go through this series, I hope you'll be inspired and encouraged by the stories that we hear, and they'll only scratch the surface. And if you feel you aren't in it together with the rest of us, then I hope your heart will leap and you realize that the talents that God has given you enable you to play a part in his family. So a couple of things. If you don't feel you're already a part of God's family, please make a priority of joining the faith course on the 22nd of January at Cafe Nero. We'd love to see you there. It's just a chance to chat things through, have a cup of coffee, and to listen to a few stories. So please do come along to that. And if you feel you are part of the family and you are inspired by some of the stories that you hear, then Matt and Ruth and Stephen and I would be delighted to stand a coffee for you and talk about the possibilities of where you might want to use your gifts. May Jesus be born in us today. I'm going to pop back up at the end and commission maybe everybody, and see you then. Thank you.